Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
I told some people to lose my number, Tim.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
That's how you build a freaking football team.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
Oh, let's talk about the trenches and the big guys.
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift on 92.9 The Game is presented by the Georgia Hemp Company. The Morning Shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning, Atlanta. It is Monday, and this is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiffany here with you. And, you know, we were just laughing it up with Dylan as he was doing a little crossover from the hometown take. And, I mean, I'm struggling this morning. I'm not. You can hear it in my voice, I think, too.
Yeah, you can. If we're not on camera, but if we were on camera, you could say you could see it in your
face. Oh, my.
What? I'm just being Mike, aren't we supposed to be honest?
I'm going to stay away from that one, Bo. Thank you very much for inviting me into that trap, but I'm going to stay right over here on this side of the table, man.
Thank you, Michael. No, I have a struggle face.
I do, too.
I may have some bags under my eyes this morning, but that just means normally I'm always, like, glowing, I guess, right, when I walk in, you know? I don't look like trash like I do today.
Well, those are your words, not mine. I did not say the trash word.
I said I like trash today.
Somebody was asking
family.
Me. Somebody asked me this weekend, they're like, you know, how are you adapting to the schedule? And I'm like, I'm not, but I'll be there eventually. It's hard. It's hard because, you know, you weekends, I like to stay up late. We have a good neighborhood group, and we like to stay out and have a few and you know, just hang out. And that gets late sometimes because people have kids and stuff. And no, it was not happening. I mean, I stayed up to like 11:15 Friday night, and boy, I felt like I'd accomplished a goal.
I think it's so funny, too, and just to give everybody a little insight in the studio, Bo walks in this morning and is like, hung out with a guy the other day that I don't hang out with very often because he's got two kids. It's like, well, thanks, Bo. And by the way, he's not talking about me, but I'm not going to throw any of that under the bus. But, yeah, I had a good weekend, dude. I actually feel better today than I think I felt at some points last week, kind of adjusting to the different – wake up and everything. I felt pretty normal today. So I think hopefully I'm starting to get in a little groove. But I guess the difference with me is I've been battling this with kids for forever. So I can't even tell you the last time I slept in past 8 o'clock. So I know that you guys get your rest on the weekends, but I feel fine right now. I feel good.
I'm up early all the time. Not this early, but I mean, we got the former offensive lineman here. You're gonna have to put the team on your back today because I tried to relive my youth over the weekend. And all the youth has like left my body.
What time would you say you went to sleep Saturday night? Like a conservative estimate.
Probably like 3.
No.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Late.
Seriously.
Let's not talk about it. So
we're going to figure out what happened Saturday night because there are clearly stories that she's hiding from, but
you have definitely been hinting at some significant significant storylines in your life.
The worst poker face in the history of poker faces, but no, eventful weekend, and glad that I'm here today with with you guys. No place I'd rather be. You know, the Final Four is set. That's my transition out of my weekend. There were some really good games, and I mean, the top seeds are missing from all this.
Yeah, it's another tournament where there are no top seeds. I see people complaining about, oh, this is the portal and this is the NIL and the one and done.
Are those complaints?
I've seen them.
A lot of people applauding.
Well,
the parody.
I love it because to me, this has been a fun tournament to watch. Normally, when a 9 seed or an 8 seed or just a mid-major team makes the Final Four, you just go, okay, that's cool. They'll lose on Saturday, and they won't be heard from for the rest of the tournament. Obviously, because they'll be out and they're not gonna make title game. I know Butler did it back to back a few years ago, but that was a really good team with some really good players. FAU or San Diego State is going to be playing on Monday night, a week from today, in the national championship game. That is really, really cool. I love it. Obviously, I have ties to San Diego State. Atlanta, but Georgia-born kid, J.D. Pollock, is one of the coaches. He went to Kennesaw State, was on the 2003 National Championship D2 Kennesaw State team. He's coaching there. So that I'm kind of riding in with them because I have some kind of attachment to them. So it was really fun watching them, that Creighton game. That, to me, might have been one of the best games of the tournament where they played Creighton. That game was so – I mean, they've played the Alabama game on Friday night was really good.
Yeah, I think the best part of the tournament for me, and this is to Alabama's detriment as a Bama guy, is the physicality a lot of these teams have been playing with. And you talk about San Diego State. I mean, dude, they took it straight to Alabama and were like, dude, I dare you. I dare you to try to be physical with us. And just a bunch of big bodies doing all the grunt work. I think you see that from – I think FAU is kind of that team in a lot of different ways, maybe at a smaller stature, but plays so tough. And I think there's been really some intriguing games. I know you had some Twitter back and forth about the end of the Creighton-San Diego State game yesterday and the ending to that. And I think all of them have been dramatic. I thought that was one of the I don't think that was really a dramatic end of the game. I guess it was technically, but you would have loved to have seen a buzzer beater rather than a free throw, I guess.
Don't foul.
No, I don't disagree with the foul call at all.
Yeah.
I hate that the game ended that way in such a huge, you know, these teams really scratching and clawing. I hate that game ended that way, but I agree with the call. I think it was the right call.
Yeah, I agree with the right call, but I like the physicality of these games. And I like that wherever you go, I feel like the energy for these games, whether in a restaurant that you got the TVs on, whether at a bar, whatever it is, either at home, like it just seems like it's a lot higher this year. And I think that is because number one seeds like aren't in it. It adds for like kind of an element of like another element of intrigue to all of this, seeing these, you know, maybe mid-level schools or smaller schools, I should say, you know, getting in the big dance.
No, I completely agree with you. And I think especially in a city like Atlanta, you have all these like alumni chapters, you know, that'll get together and go to certain places. And I know the big schools usually have them, but in a place like Atlanta, you're going to find alumni chapters from a lot of smaller schools too. And I think that's one of the cool things about this tournament. I thought it was funny because I'm looking at Florida Atlantic playing and I'm realizing they're the Owls. And I'm like, what are the odds that there's two Owls mascots in the freaking, you know, in the tournament this year? And I look at all these smaller schools and I look at the things happening and I look at how fun that is. And I got to tell you, I started thinking about how the college football playoffs going down this road with the 12-team expansion in a couple years. And I got kind of excited about that too. You know, how fun the tournament's been this year and what football is going to look like in a couple of years with these teams, these random teams. I don't know, Bo's shaking his head going, dude, it ain't going to be like that.
It's not.
But
we can hope.
But I think there's the opportunity for that. I think you could have a Cinderella playing in the national title game. I'm not saying they're going to win the national title, but it would be cool if you end up having some of these Cinderella teams playing in it.
I think you could have a chance for an upset in one of the first rounds of when they go to 12 in college football. But you're not going to get this. The parity in college basketball is so much more than there is in college football. There is hardly any parity in college football.
Well, you've got more teams.
Well, I think it's also easier. To me, it's
more teams in the tournament.
Yes, but it's also easier. So we talked about physicality, right? How do you when there's a, in basketball, when there is a more talented group or team on the floor, you just, you play up tight defense, you get a little physical, you get them out of a rhythm, you make, you muddy the waters, you make it murky. It's a lot harder to do that in college football or football in general. So, in these styles make the fight thing, when you play, when you're a small school and you play in Alabama or an Ohio State or a Georgia, and they can bring in their second team is as talented as your first squad, and they have that depth, and that war of attrition starts taking place, that's where you separate. And in one game, it's fine. But if you have maybe a star player and he goes out, you're not replacing him with the same talented player as George is replacing, you know, one of their star players. It's just different.
I agree with you on that. But to me, in football, the beauty is if you're not playing as a team in football, you can easily lose games like that. And so that's going to be the intriguing part is when a team is very, very talented and they're highly ranked because they're talented. And we talked about preseason rankings the other day. But they're not playing as a team. That's when they're going to get knocked off. So you're going to have teams that know their system, that play hard, that play gritty, and be able to go in and maybe knock off one of these. I'm not saying that like you're going to have some kind of crazy mid-major going to win the national title, but I think it's going to make for intriguing storylines the same way that this tournament has.
Hey, the Hawks have been kind of intriguing lately. Is that a stretch,
yeah,
right?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about them still ahead. We're also going to hit our front page and dive into some Braves talk that is just ahead on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And they're taking me back with this song. It's a good choice. I was going to sing, but I'm going to spare everybody in here. The raspiness is there, so you know I can carry a tune. The Hawks.
Is that the threshold?
That's the threshold, the raspiness.
Okay. All right.
My sister said sometimes I sound like I should be a lounge singer. That's what I sound like this morning.
We're going to need your sister on at some point because she's got some one-liners, I guess, about you that you've shared, and they're pretty funny.
I get roasted on the daily, but I bring it on myself, and I accept that. I really sound like I should be like by a piano right now, like, hey, boys. Play your best tunes. Sorry, I've gone off the rails.
What the hell is happening? Oh, my. Mike, you got anything to say to that?
I've
got nothing.
Tiff, those transitions you become famous for, let's go ahead and knock one of those out. And the Hawks.
You've made it as awkward as Dylan makes the handoff. That's a great job by you.
My transitions, they really need some work. So I'm just gonna say it. The Hawks, they lost to the Grizzlies. Now they're in a tie for the eighth seed with the Raptors. They do not hold the tiebreaker We were talking about this earlier, how the game came to an end. And I know we've got to talk about Trae Young, and I'm just going to hand it off to you, Mike.
Well,
I'm going to hand it off to you.
So the game was so frustrating, man, because I watched most of the second half, and it was like a – I don't think I ever saw it be a double-digit lead for the Grizzlies. And so most of the time, I think you're starting off middle of third quarter, it's like a 9-point, 8-point game. And it seemed like and the Hawks were playing so hard, right? Clint Capella was crashing the boards last night. I don't know how many rebounds he ended up with, but at some point it was like 16, I think, in the middle of the fourth quarter, right? Scratching and clawing for every freaking possession. And you were just like, okay, just get it to one possession game. And I think there's a couple of minutes left in the game, and finally they get it to a three-point game, and you're like, you're so excited. Trae Young gets the ball. He's dribbling down the court, and you're like, all right, this is the possession that's going to turn things, right? This is the point in the season where the Hawks take the next step, and you're waiting on Trae Young to do something incredible and set up the offense and kind of run the point. And he literally crosses the logo, and he shoots from like 10 foot behind the arc as soon as he crosses the logo. And, of course, bricks it. The Grizzlies get the rebound. They drive down. They set up their offense. They kind of run the play clock out. They get it to John Morant in the corner. And then as the play clock is hitting zeros, John Morant throws up a prayer, and Trae Young fouls him. So you're talking about a six-point swing in a basketball game in a possession where you were like, this is the time, right? This is the exact moment the Hawks season is going to turn. They're going to dribble down. They're going to find some points. They're going to make this a really close game, if not tie it. They're going to flip things around, and this is where the Hawks finally win two games in a row, and they finally transition to be the Hawks team you want. And Trae Young shoots up this shot that you're like, dude, what just happened? We like scratch and claw the entire freaking game to get it to a one possession game, and that's the shot you choose to go with. And I know that Quinn Snyder's talked about, hey, you know, we got to shoot more open threes. That's not what he's referencing though, man. That's not exactly what he was going for. We got to shoot the ball more open. So it was brutal, man. It was a brutal end of that game.
And that's where you'd like to kind of see the offense get set up and Trae. That's where you want to see Trae do what we saw him do. What was it against Minnesota, where he drives, penetrates, kicks out. Bogey has an open three. Now Bogey missed it. You lose the game. But that's the kind of possession you'd rather see than just pulling up the logo three. A bad foul. You bell Morant and the Grizzlies out, like you talked about. But that's what this team has been. That's what this team has been, honestly, for the last two seasons, where we keep waiting because we think that this is the same squad, or we think of this team as that playoff run team, because we know Trae has that. He has the superstar capabilities. He's just not doing it. I know he had 28-10. The night before, he's kicked out of the game for throwing the ball at an official. Now he's got 15 technicals. So now he's one technical from getting suspended. And if that happens, it could be something that it could be big, because that could drop this team down to what? To like 10, I believe. I mean, so there's a real they are in jeopardy of dropping out of that eighth spot. This team, you said it. And this is what bothers me now with this team is you said, this is going to be the moment they turn around. That moment's not happening, I don't think.
It's clear now, yeah.
That's what bothers me so bad, because they win Saturday night, and I'm so excited for Sunday. I'm like, hey, here we go. And then you turn around and you do exactly what you've done all year, because that's who you are. And I keep getting sucked into that they're somebody different, and I just don't know if they are.
You feel like they're leading you on.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's kind of like the girl that you text, or guy in your case, or that texts you.
I don't text anybody
like,
anymore.
Okay. Well, they reach out, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then nothing.
Look, they missed shots, and I'm not saying it all came down to that, but I know that, you know, Quinn Snyder wants them to shoot more, take more threes, and I know that was a factor in the game. Trae talking about that afterwards. The Grizzlies were 13. They made 13 three-pointers, and the Hawks only had 7. They lost by 4. I mean, you could go point to a number of different things as to why they lost, but I think it comes down to kind of the identity of this team, and nothing really has changed. You're going to get the up and down. That's the only thing that they've been consistent with so far this season.
Yeah, and I think a good microcosm of that was DeAndre Hunter's night. I mean, you watch him at certain points, and you're like, dude, what are you doing? And then you get to the end of the fourth quarter, and he makes a couple clutch jumpers, a couple field goals, and you're like, okay, like I see what you're doing here. And We talked a little bit last week about how I felt like Clint Capela was just on a different page from the rest of the team. Dude, he was so active last night. Okongwu, too. And again, we go back, and I know that Quinn Snyder's kind of mentioned this. The second group for this team is so much fun to watch. Dude. They're so active. Sadiq Bey is literally turning into one of my favorite players for them. And then it seems like it's you kind of have to, right? They're your superstars. You go back to these ones at the end of the game, and things just don't turn out well. And I love the energy they played with. I thought there's been questions this year about how much energy they play with on defense. I don't think that was the problem last night. I don't think it's been the problem for a few games. It's not the energy. I mean, Clint Capela is crashing the boards and doing a lot of good things, a lot of putback points, even when he shouldn't be trying to put it back, should be trying to kick it out. But it's I'm with you, Bo. It's so frustrating to watch, man, because you feel like I said, you're so close, and Trey dribbles across the logo, and it didn't win or lose the game, but you've scratched and clawed and played defense and rebounded to get within one possession. And then it just goes by the wayside, man. It's just a wasted opportunity, another wasted opportunity in a frustrating year.
And by the way, I do want to give some credit. I feel like this team has been much better in the paint, on the board, since Snyder's taken over. I don't know. There's some kind of concentrated goal there to make them better, but I feel like they've played better inside, especially on the boards. So that's a positive to take out of and something to look forward to moving forward, I guess, into next season if you want to even look that far ahead. So that has been a positive for this team. But they're still losing.
Yeah, dude. It, like you said, it's frustrating. I know things have started to turn around defensively, but it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. And Quinn Snyder talked about that with the defense in the second half.
I thought we're just looking for consistency defensively and keep chipping away at it. And, you know, again, our offense, if we don't take care of the ball, which, you know, that's one thing. We've talked about the live ball turnovers, but when we have people driving to the hole and going to the basket, you know, it's really tough to defend when our floor balance changes like that. And, you know, it's not that you don't want to drive. But I thought we passed up some. I thought we passed up some shots.
They pass up shots, yes. You know, he talks about the communication in the second half defensively. I thought was a huge thing, because how many times this year have we seen Trey kind of get picked outside the perimeter, outside the 3-point range? He kind of gets picked and taken off his guy, and then that guy drills a freaking three right after the screen. So, like I said, man, I was fine with the energy they played with on the defensive end of the floor. It just continues. And Memphis is a good team. They just continue to get into these situations where you think, okay, now's the time. They're going to hit the big jumper. Like you said the other day, Bogey's going to nail the three. This is going to be what puts it away. And they continue to flop in these situations. And I really, other than personnel, I don't know what you look at and say the big issue is. I know that Quinn Snyder's doing some different things offensively, and the system is a little bit different. And Trey talked about yesterday how you can't pass up some of the open threes. I don't know if they so much passed on some of the open threes last night. I think they did a good job shooting them. Like I said, DeAndre Hunter, some big shots down the stretch, but it just they can't quite put it together at the right time.
You are listening to The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is time to hit the front page.
1, 2, 3. It's time to take a look at today's top headlines.
This is the front page on The Morning Shift.
The Braves rotation.
Now, your game traffic.
Seems you never know what's going to happen. It's like we're live, right? The Braves rotation seems to be decided for the first two series. So opening day is Thursday. I cannot believe it's like already here. And the rotation for at least the first two series, it appears it's going to be Dylan Dodd and Jarrett Schuster will both make starts at some point. And right now, it looks like Jarrett Schuster will get the nod, on April 2nd against the Nationals. And then Dodd will start April 4th. Against the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's pretty cool the way they're doing that, because Schuster is basically, it's a home crowd for him and a home game for him. He's near the area. And Dodd is from a small town in Illinois, which is just a couple hours, I think, away from St. Louis. So that's kind of cool the way they did that to them. It's even funnier the way I know that Dave O'Brien had it, and Justin Toscano. Toscano would join us later, by the way, at 8:20 to talk about all this stuff. But Snitker pulled them both in at the same time. And I think it was Dodd that was like, oh, this is weird. They're going to pick one of us right next to each other. You know, we've been competing all the time. But Schuster's take was like, oh, I knew something was good when, you know, they called us both in. So I think it's really cool. These guys have been so impressive this spring. They have went out and just competed their butts off. They have performed. And now they're going to get a chance to prove it. This is where it's really going to muddy the water, though, is if both these guys pitch well. If both these guys pitch well, you know Kyle Wright's coming back. This guy was led the major leagues in wins last year. He was the most consistent pitcher you had all season. And when he comes back, one of these guys is probably going down. And how they do that, it's just going to be interesting to see how they navigate if both guys perform.
And I like how you mentioned how they're doing the starts for these two guys kind of nearby, you know, where they're from. I think that kind of plays into, you know, when we talked to Snit, what was it, like last week or the week before, and just how much fun he's having. He said he got a lot of joy, really, out of getting to tell those guys, give them the news in the way he did bringing them in together. He said he even got like a little bit of a reaction out of them that their minds were probably spinning. But I think that all just speaks to kind of the fun that this team is having. But I think it's really cool to give them the nod in that way.
Yeah, and by the way, one of these guys, like you said, will end up settling into that fifth role. But I think the winner in all this is the organization, right? How many times did we talk last week about organizational depth? You've built it up in the starting rotation. I mean, the way that Spencer Strider pitched a year ago, the way that both these guys pitched during the during spring training and really have dealt things in the right way. So I love it, man. The organization's winning. These two guys are both incredible pitchers, and they'll get the opportunity.
By the way, don't forget, you still have Mike Soroka, Ian Anderson, who is one of the best postseason pitchers they've had the last few years, down in Gwinnett. They still have those guys. They basically have four guys vying for one spot. So it's going to be cool. And don't forget, one of these guys could be moving come trade deadline if there's a piece that they need that is not pitching.
We still got to talk Atlanta United and an ugly, ugly loss ahead. We're also going to hit TB's timeout. I have a theory, and I have really, like, I have great insight on this theory, and no one can tell me otherwise. Try to prove me wrong. That's just ahead on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brackets.
Never wrong.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here, the raspiness is there, so you know I can carry a tune. I don't really know where to go with that. I really don't like that you guys can do that to me. We're back on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. And is this why you're? Was this music you guys are going with? This for a specific
who
reason?
Who are we listening to right now?
It's Tiffany in her raspy voice.
Me playing the piano, guys. Okay, sorry, I'm going to stop. I'll never do that again. I promise.
This music is played for a certain reason. I get it, but we're going to have something a little more energetic than that. I mean, have you seen Tiffany? She's very tired today.
Oh, I need Amy to come through and put you in your place. I mean, you never...
What?
You never are supposed to like comment like that to a lady.
Especially before 7 a.m.
Especially before 7 a.m. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. I look like trash today. I'm not. Trash is my favorite. It's my favorite word to use.
Those are not my words. Those are your words. I do not want to get attached to that. Jackie One are going to take me out.
Look, I'm looking rough this morning. Atlanta United had a rough go at it this weekend. I mean, handed their first loss, their worst loss, like at that, 6-1 to the Columbus Crew. And I want to go back. Like, okay, I know I said I didn't mind the international like call-up window. Can I change my mind on that? Because, I mean, you're missing, what, 7 guys? That's the most that any other MLS team has had to deal with. Thiago Almada. Gosh, Yorgos Giakoumakis gone. I mean, it's pretty tough without those key players.
I just hope the United's depth was a little bit better than this. And not that it's not. It's maybe they just haven't played together enough. And look, maybe, I mean, and I think we all know Almada's just that good. Giakoumakis will be that good. But it was a rough one, man, Saturday night. And the whole first half, the first goal that Columbus scored was on like a deflection header. And so you're like, listen, you know, the first half, Atlanta's down 1-0, play well. Caleb Wiley just needs to get some shots on goal and make some things happen. Dude, absolute brutal start to the second half. I think two goals in the first 4 minutes, I want to say, the second half, and the route was on. I remember I was listening to it on the radio, and I heard Mike Conte say, and the route is on. And I was like, dude, the route is absolutely freaking on right now because this is not good.
Nothing. I take nothing from that game. That game, you want to talk about trash? That game, that's what that – take it out with the trash. That game means nothing. Don't even – that's one I wouldn't even watch, go back and have the guys watch. I would just say, you know what? That game doesn't matter. You were missing – Dylan told me they had four guys out, two of which they got hit with the international call-up, and they had a couple injuries. But that wasn't Atlanta United. That was a mixture of Atlanta United with Atlanta United 2. And so I don't even care. That game doesn't matter. You get your guys back, and then you'll see the Atlanta United. We've seen it. Wasn't the same team. They felt like they couldn't attack like they wanted to. It didn't even happen.
but I agree with you to an extent, but you're trying to build that depth and you're trying to build they make it such a big deal out of the homegrown thing. At some point you have to look in the mirror and say, dude, that wasn't good. I know what you're saying, and like your guys weren't there. But if we're gonna talk about, first of all, the second half effort, you get outscored that bad. And Tiff, I want you to touch on this. None of the front three in the Atlanta United starting lineup had a shot on goal. Not even Caleb Wiley. And that, to me, that's the most brutal part. Like, you weren't able to put anything together at the front end of this lineup.
It's unacceptable. I mean, if you're not putting the ball on the goal or taking these shots, it's obvious, you're not going to win the game. And sometimes it just falls that way. There's some games where it's just like, you know, man, this just ain't it. And I don't want to put it all like on the fact they're missing seven guys. That's a huge factor in this. But you talk about the depth and trying to build up this team. That's a game you're going to have to go back and watch, Bo, and look at, you know, obviously what you could have done better. Because just saying you're missing all these people isn't enough. It's like I'm torn, right? Because go ahead.
You're talking about depth, but that's not what depth is. Depth is not replacing seven players. Depth is couple of guys here and there.
But to come out and lose that bad?
Oh, it's a really bad look, but I...
The shots on goal, as Mike mentioned, to start the second half, like, that's... You can't do that.
It's true, but seven guys, that's just brutal. You're basically... Imagine if you're the Falcons show up and they're missing, I don't know, like, seven starters on offense and defense. That's not the Falcons. That's your second string team. It's just different. Depth is a couple of guys here and there, and you have guys that can fill in, and your team never misses a beat. You pull seven guys off the field, that's a hell of a thing.
Well, I think it speaks to what United's kind of philosophy has been in the last couple of years. It's a counter strike. It's a quick strike. It's a quick turnover and get it down the field. And when you can't get those turnovers on the back end, you know, Miles Robinson's not there, you're not going to be able to get those quick strikes down. And so, like I said, the front three, no shots on goal, you're not going to have the opportunity to kind of counter-strike and kind of get guys wide open and kind of hit some of these crossers. And we saw the counter attack where Yakamaka scores the other day on the header, the quick header. You're not going to have that if on the defensive end. So, look, I'm not saying United fans need to freaking panic. I'm not at all worried about where this season's going. And we've talked about it before. Almada's the best player in the league. They get him back in the lineup, especially with the ball at his feet, and they're going to be fine. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm just going to throw this away and like the people that were playing just need to throw the film away and not watch it. They absolutely need to freaking watch it. It might be some of the most meaningful minutes that some of these guys get the entire season. So they need to go back and watch and see what their performance was and see where it's lacking. I'm not saying, look, they're not going to be able to win the MLS Cup playing like this. That's not what my point is. But I don't think you throw the film away either. I think they've got to go back and watch.
No, you don't. And the shots on goal, I mean, that's going to get you going, right? Whether they're going in or not. I mean, yeah, you'll be frustrated, but you need the shots on goal just to generate some sort of energy. Like, you have to have it. What we also have to have, you guys like these transitions? Like, I'm, like, trying to make it, like, smooth, but, like, I'm naturally awkward. Well, really a gift.
That one was going to be good until you called yourself out.
Oh, it was? It was?
Yeah.
Let's hit TV's timeout.
Now listen up. Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
With TB's timeout on the morning shift.
Dylan just gets in my ear. It was so smooth until you talked about it being smooth. All right, point taken.
That's exactly right.
Just got to keep it moving. Nothing I do is smooth. But I do have some theories. This is like extensive research based on my experience. So for those of you who don't know, I work for ESPN as well. I'm doing XFL coverage right now. I'm also working here with these guys doing the show. So I am the only female in two group chats, and they're both work group chats, but it's like, it's just dudes, right? And so my theory is, like, if I am doing...
Bo, get ready. Get your game face on, because I just, right now, I can tell by the way she's looking at us, we are about to be targeted.
I'm not going to roast y'all. All I'm saying is I don't get how y'all are capable of, like, texting, like, so much. And it's not even always work stuff. And this is my... I'm not going to call it a beef. This is my... What I am telling
it's an
you
issue.
Guys, it's not, I'm not going to say it's an issue. It's just, it's a observation. As a reporter, I like to observe. Sometimes I throw in a ha 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 reaction. Sometimes I throw in a like, just, you know, so you guys know that I am present. But my theory is men love a group chat. And I've heard, you know, I pitched it to these, I didn't even pitch it. I actually told you guys, because it is a fact based on my extensive research. And I told this to my XFL guys, too. I'm like, you guys love a group chat. I'm having dinner with the XFL guys at our game. And all of a sudden, the morning shift, group chat. I'm like scarred. It gives me like I'm shuddering. I'm shivering. Like, oh, my.
All right. Here's my question.
Okay.
All right. I'm big on group chats. I really am. I'm huge on group chats. Like, I have probably.
Thank you.
Five, maybe six, like, at all times that I probably every day I have probably five or six that I talk
all about. Dude chats.
All dude chats. Okay. And it's like they all have their own title. They, you know, like there's a group chat about fantasy baseball. There's a group chat about guys I went to college with. There's a group chat about, you know, this, that, and the other. My question for you is, and I've noticed this about you in the last few weeks.
I'm so scared right now.
Would you categorize yourself as a good multitasker?
No.
Okay. That's where I think this all comes from, because I think watching you and trying to have a conversation with you after you've gotten a text or a message, like, there is nothing, nobody's home. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like talking dead to your face and like nobody's home. I think that's where the issue lies with your group, because you're sitting there and like you're probably at dinner and you probably read something that one of us has sent about, you know, Trey getting ejected or something along those lines. And you're probably like, I'm reading this, and you probably have no idea what everybody else is talking about at the table. I had to guess, because I don't think it's a bad thing, but your ability to multitask is, I think, the reason you have an issue with so many group texts. I don't think you hear anything else that's going on in that room when you're getting text messages.
I live in, Dylan, you are really triggering me. Like, is that Oren? Oren, oh, you're dead to me. What I'm getting at, okay, yes, I live in, like, a world of organized chaos. Oh, my God. I can't even get through this segment with all these chimes. Look, okay, yes, do I have an issue possibly multitasking? Actually, you really can't say that, right? Because I'm doing games. I'm doing this show. So, like, I'm multitasking.
Yeah, not at the same damn time.
It's a specific thing to the phone. I'm not talking about anything else.
I think it is. It's just specific to the phone. And, like, I'm glad you admitted, though, that dudes love a group chat.
I do, for sure. That's my social media.
Okay, because, like, my XFL guys were like, well, that's not true. And I'm, like, going through it. I'm like, you guys are talking about random stuff. Like, this has nothing to do with work. And then the worst is, like, when both of the chats are going off at the same time. And these chats are, like, what do we have? Like, what, one, two, three, four? Like, there's, like, six people in our
there's
the
five.
Morning shift. Okay, five. I can't count. Whatever. Our morning shift group chat. I got there's even two separate XFL men group chats.
You just proved that you can't multitask because you were trying to count how many people on the show while talking and you couldn't do it successfully. That's the issue.
I did not come here to be targeted. I came here to present.
You threw a target at us.
I came here to present factual, like, evidence to you guys, to the audience. That men love a group chat.
I don't love group chats.
You love a group chat. You are lying. You are a liar.
No, I'm not.
Yes, this is the strongest opinion I've ever had. You are. I try to.
You
like,
know what group chats are like,
toe the
Tiffany.
Line sometimes, but I cannot.
Hold on. Hold on a second. She just called me a liar.
She did call. You know what group chats are? I can't stand cargo shorts, but they are hella practical.
Are you
group
talking
text?
About my? Are you talking about my pub sub date?
No. I'm talking about in general here. Your pub sub date.
Everything's about you, Tiffany.
Not about you, Tiffany. Here, no. No, I don't like cargo shorts, but I understand the practicality of them. They work. I don't have to like group text, but I understand the practicality of them. They work for the setting that they're in.
No. You miss a text and you're behind. Like I turned away for 1 second. I'm on a flight for 1 second. I've missed 40 messages in this group chat. And also, it is about me because this is TB's timeout.
Okay, well, cargo shorts were great when I was a landscaper because you had so many pockets. You could put Kleenexes in a pocket and tools and weed eater string. I mean, it was great.
Tiffany's like, this is a press conference, and I'm not taking any follow-up questions.
I'm not taking. PR is shutting it down.
Next question.
Still to come on the morning shift, we're going to hear from Atlanta Falcons GM Terry Fontenot. He gave his thoughts on free agency to AtlantaFalcons.com. We are going to take a listen to that and talk about maybe what's ahead for them in the draft. That is just ahead on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.